Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica.
It's an all new me. Do you notice something different?
I do.
Blinding sunlight!
Well, I'm surprised because it feels like you brought the rain to LA because I'm sitting in, I don't know, I guess it's sunny by you, but by me, it's still pouring down rain.
It is still pouring down rain, but it is sun. And yes, the rain chases me, as you know. It chased me to New Hampshire, chased me to London, and now it did chase me back here. But I will tell you what, even in the rain,
we are
so much brighter here.
And does it feel,
it feels just so good, June. It feels so good to be home. I have such a gratitude now for where I live, for old friends and sunshine. And I feel like during the pandemic, I felt like I hated everything about everywhere that we saw and did. And going away for 4 months was like, I would think, going to prison and getting out again and being like, wait, I love it here. You know?
Wow.
So well, that
you never looked better. You look like a teen.
I just feel yeah,
you
easy
look light
breezy.
And bright.
Easy breezy, beautiful. And
how was the reentry? I mean, I really do want to know. I want to know every detail.
Yeah. Like, well,
you,
and also
you
and I and to get and to bring you to today, because I am extremely dysregulated to the point where Cody was like, hey, it seems like it's a tough, you know, week to do an episode. I was like, no, we have to, Cody. She's like, well, you won't get paid for it. Like, you've already I'm like, no, I have to talk to June. Like, and I know that we don't have to talk publicly. I know that I could call you
at any time.
But it feels like at this point, we're the Kardashians. We're living out loud. Like, I don't know if they even know the difference.
You know, I always say, if we're not making content, like, what are we doing? You know, if I can't monetize my trauma, then what the fuck is it worth? What is any of this healing worth if I can't make money off of it?
I know. And, you know, it's interesting because... yeah, I feel like I like to share now because I feel like then I know people are going to DM me and tell me I'm not a freak. And that feels good.
Well, I got to tell you. So just this week, and I really do want
to hear from when that plane. Yeah.
That plane,
yeah.
Those wheels came out and you touched down because I'm so happy you're back. I feel better in LA.
Oh, I'm so glad.
I feel better that you're back.
Yeah.
And I want to alert the deep divers. Jessica did something before her return where she got a date on the books for a luncheon at her home that is going to be, we're going to be celebrating one of our dear friends. And you texted a group of us that are on a group team together. And what I appreciated that you did, which I've never seen done before, never seen it done, is you said, I will be requiring 100% attendance.
Yeah, because you know, people throw out a date and then people go, I'm so sorry. And I got a couple like, oh, going to be out of town. I was like, well, then I'll move the date.
And it was so, in this day and age, like it was actually quite refreshing to know, like, I'm going to be there come hell or high water. Like that date is so
important.
There will be nothing that comes in between me and that date.
I'm so glad. And because, you know, you guys never want to drive to Santa Monica. And also I'm more comfortable in other people's homes.
Always.
But the truth is.
And more comfortable usually inviting people to other people's homes.
Yeah. And I thought about it. I did think Casey, I'd like you to host this, you know, birthday party for Danielle. But then I thought, I got home. This was even before I got home. I knew that there were the kitchen elves were doing the organization in my kitchen. When I tell you that there are labels, I have an oatmeal bar, A man, a gentleman with some of the best teeth in the business, Jordan Santaro from Jersey, from straight up South Jersey.
I know, I'm like, this sounds like someone I went to high school with.
No, no, you did. First, I found out he's from Jersey and I was like, okay, okay, Jersey strong. We don't pump our gas, we pump our fists, okay? And I said, Jordan, you do you.
See, and I appreciate that because, I mean, I've talked about my experience with a home organizer, and as you know,
something very
terrible happened. But I have since had a very wonderful home organizer coming in. And I'm not somebody, and I feel this way about design and like,
people. Agreed.
I'm like, you do it. I have a very limited skill set. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I have an idea or know which sconce should go here.
Thank you. And why else am I hiring you?
Yes.
I don't go and say, ooh, that stock, I heard a good stock tip. I'd wind up in jail. I don't want that. I want you to do you. And he did. Wow. And then he texts me, goes, I got done so quick in the kitchen. You want me to head upstairs? And I said, go with God. Jordan, go with God. Now, every time I say I'm not going to share this on the podcast with the fear my father will listen. I did invest in a vibrator. Okay.
Good.
And I didn't think to myself, this poor gentleman was going to have to corral.
You know what?
Some vibrators that I bought in the past that I thought I'd thrown out.
So now you're okay.
The new vibrators.
I'm like really curious. So you had several ones that you'd used before when you said you felt like you were like a dead fish.
I had two or three, one of which I purchased, one of which a friend who may or may not have been on this podcast had gifted when she was horrified to hear. They were all scattered to the wind. Okay. And then he corralled them because like goes with like. And I don't know if he gave it a label. I hope he didn't.
But where were they? Just those can only go in your bedroom. They only go bedside.
Okay, they were wild. They were in a wild location. They were flung here and there and everywhere. Oh my God,
it was like where they put the Halloween candy.
That poor guy. So I keep finding, the thing is that this is the gift that keeps giving. I keep opening up drawers and there it is, just totally organized. You know, all the batteries I never knew I had. I've had so many doubles of doubles, triples, quadruples of things. I have 8 things of saline solution. I never knew I even had one. I had it on my list to go get some. So this guy he turned it out. He didn't even leave a space for people to shove a chip bag. There ain't no space. You must decant or you must go home.
Now I will report. So we did have, the boys' room was always trouble for me because
the toys,
so many
all
books,
the toys,
the things, the homework, all of the stuff. And they share a room. And we did have someone come in who did an unbelievable job.
Yeah.
And we got rid of a lot of stuff.
Yes.
And just this week, I'm like, it's back.
Well, Marie Kondo will say, and by the way, Sparking Joy, I highly recommend, although I know you like to watch people get dismembered before bed. Mm-hmm. Sparking Joy is her That's new show where she goes in and does it for businesses, for people's like their coffee shop, their dream coffee shop. And she goes in and helps them. And but she will tell you, this is an ongoing process. It's not one and done. You have to always be culling and it takes time.
The most depressing fact about my closet right now is my mother-in-law bought these extra like drawer organizers and I'm gonna say 4 weeks. These are big boxes.
Yeah.
4 weeks. These boxes have been in various states of being opened.
Yeah, I know.
On top of the like area where there's a little mirror and my jewelry is supposed to be like it's supposed to be a very nice area, and I'm finding it just today. I saw, I put my earrings and other things that are now inside the boxes of organizers. Like it's
that's horrifying.
There's of course a suitcase still out.
I dumped all the suitcases.
J. Crew box from Cyber Monday still out, and I'm trying to return things. Like it's I do feel now what I would like for myself and the commitment I'd like to make for myself is before I have guests arriving for Christmas, my sister and her husband and my nephews are coming. I'd really like to get that sorted. I'd like to get that
as an
sorted.
Let me give you, and then because actually this is dovetailing into something very serious I wanted to talk about, which is how we get ourselves to do things that are good for us. Let me give you a good reason. Okay. You are an HSP. And HSPs are extremely affected by their environment. And the more chaotic your environment is, the worse you feel inside and the worse you're going to be able to show up, not only for yourself, but for your family. So it's like a matter of life or death organizing for us. And I, that has been a wild aha for me.
Well, it's so interesting because I had some people over on Saturday night. And so of course, you know, I remember this growing up, like when we had company coming over,
the day company came over,
we knew from the time our eyeballs popped open, like company's coming.
Yep. You better pretend you better you're living normal.
Look alive.
Yeah. Like, look normal.
You're going to vacuum the entire downstairs. You're going to be polishing, like you're going to be cleaning
like
your room. Like
Ms. Hannigan type of scenario.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're presenting a version of ourselves that is not how we normally live. And so company was coming over on Saturday night and I was like, I got to get my office in shape. Now, I will tell you, I'm sitting here now. Now, this checkbook is out. Like, there's a few things here
Sure.
And don't open the drawers. But I will tell you, I'm looking at a clear space.
And it affects you.
It really does. It really, really does. And, you know, I know we talked about it before. And I mean, I guess every episode of this podcast is
about our drawers. I do think I know. I know this is a retread.
I know. But listen, what is life if not one giant retread? You know,
especially if you believe in reincarnation, right?
Yes.
I mean, here we are trying to learn that same lesson and break certain.
I am trying to learn this about myself, that you're absolutely right, Jessica. I do need this desperately.
You do, and I do too. I dumped out all of the suitcases, and I did put the suitcases away. But again, now, when I tell you there are 4 months of belongings on my bedroom floor, I feel insane.
Yeah, well, we'll get to it.
We'll get to it. Downstairs is right now the only part of my life is the living room. That is clean. But well, I'm going to go room to room. Now, it is difficult when you have a child out of school who just wants you to play Candyland for the 700th time. Okay.
That's very difficult.
Oh, God, Candyland. I hate board games. I got to get it. Anyway. But yeah, the Christmas holiday is way too long. I don't understand why everybody in LAUSD needs to get 3.5 to 4 weeks
observed.
We're not in Europe.
It's absurd.
And if you're going to give that to me, give it to me in the warm weather months. Like,
and
I'm
also
enraged.
Like, give it to all of us. You know what I mean?
Because
the rest of the world is heading back to work on January 4th. Why our children are out until January 11th is beyond. It is absolutely beyond.
Pasadena, they're back January 3rd. Lennon was like, I can start back up fresh as a daisy January 3rd. I'm like, oh, I'll be a shell of my former self. I can't.
It's really confusing and very upsetting. Now, I will tell you, because I really wanted to touch down on this with you.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, I really planned on, like, working on the kitchen and, like, really getting things organized.
Why don't you just get Jordan in?
I know. See, I don't know if I could have, and I'm going to say this as, I don't know if I could have a man look at my mess.
Oh, you can. When that man is from New Jersey and obviously extremely close to his mother.
Okay.
He's totally on our tip. He's like, I love the energy in here. This energy was fueling me. Like he's tapped into the other side.
All right, great.
God, he did it.
So maybe I can, but I set out to, because what I can't do is I can't clean and just clean. I must be cleaning, either listening to a podcast.
Oh, yes. By the way, so many people are listening to Deep Dive while they're cleaning.
Which
and
is
that is
lovely.
Something that
which is
so much joy.
Lovely. So I put on in the kitchen the Sex and the City reboot just like that. Have you seen it?
No, but Dan, I mean, I guess that spoiler is everywhere. But
don't
Dan,
even
I
say
won't,
it.
But like, he just like pipes up like it's the first time he used to delete Sex and the Cities because he didn't like the message off of our TiVo.
Okay.
And now he just ruined the pilot for me. I was like, okay.
So I set out to clean and I had it on in the background. And within the first minute, I had to sit down. And I sat on a kitchen table chair in front of a TV and I watched both two episodes.
Wow.
And I wept the entire time, Jessica.
Really? Wait. Jessica? So it's good.
Or
is it that it's speaking to a time of our lives? It was such an important show to me.
Listen, I am crafting a letter to Michael Patrick King.
Okay.
There are issues, you know, their handling of like race, gender, lots of things that they were rightly critiqued for in the series is wildly clunky and, you know, deserves the critique it's getting there. However, the way he has handled Sarah Jessica Parker and Cynthia Nixon and those two characters, and honestly, the absence of Samantha Jones, I believe
is she Croaksville?
Brilliant. I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
I really do want you to sit down and watch it.
Yeah, I will. Of course I will.
Now, when watching the show, I think we all of us always wanted to be Carrie, and we all see ourselves as Carrie.
Right.
And
right.
Even though in my own life, I've always like secretly known, like I'm probably more of a Miranda.
What?
I know. It's been it's like sometimes you get these whispers.
I don't know. You know, no, I think it's like this when you're like, this is what I look like to everybody or sound my voice sounds like. And then someone says, no, that's not it at all. That's why I think you feel think inside right. as a Miranda.
I think it's like, yes, it's like I probably present as a Capricorn, but I'm really a Scorpio.
Right.
You
exactly.
know, it's the same idea.
Yeah.
So I've always been like, oh, I'm sure the world sees me as a Miranda. And I had like conflicting feelings about that. Watching Cynthia Nixon's performance in this show.
Wow. I'm going to watch it today.
Jessica.
Wow.
It is... She's a genius.
She comes from so much truth inside. Oh. She really does. It's like, and also I wonder if age too has like shed any of the layers.
What's so beautiful about the show is that we are seeing, there's multiple things happening, right? Which is like, we're seeing our gals, we're seeing our friends. We've been seeing a long time and we're seeing them in a different part of their lives. And what I loved, I mean, this isn't a spoiler because everybody knows Samantha's not on the show, is it's heartbreaking and it's sad, but it's real. Friendships fall apart. You know, not everyone stands the test of time. Not everyone comes with us. And so that felt real and true.
Wow.
And not like, oh, they just, you know, they
well,
didn't
it
get
would
the
be
actress.
Easy. It would be easy to say she's dead. So now I know she's not dead.
No, they handled her beautifully and generously, in my opinion. But
and I'm so glad she's not dead because that would have triggered
dead.
Me. That
very much
triggered
so alive.
Me. Triggered
but
me.
It was, it rang so true. Like, oh, we don't all, everybody doesn't necessarily come with us, you know, and sometimes that's okay. And that's real. And the way that we get to meet them, and I don't know if it's the pandemic, I don't know what, like life has happened. There's a heaviness to it. There's certainly a heaviness to it. But I personally didn't mind that. And I felt happy that they had each other and so happy to be with the gals, you know, to be with my characters that I love. Oh. It was really, I can't even tell you. It was the wildest experience where I was
Well, and also we usually don't get to revisit. You know, we were talking about the ending, of course, of Grace and Frankie, the ending.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not the ending of Avenue 5, but when we wrapped, I had a lot of tears for me in the Heath. Yes. So many tears because this world is so uncertain. I mean, I hope that we're back, but we don't know. Season one, it was like, oh yeah, right. We're definitely coming back, you know? And then it's just so uncertain. And I love this cast like so deeply. Mm. And so I had to call Carl, of course, Hornbauer from the Heath. I actually did something I wanted to share as a tip. I have a hard time crying by myself. I really have a hard time. It's very easy for me to cry with you, with the girls. I can call a best friend, my mother, I can cry my dad, but I cannot cry by myself anymore. It's really tough. Huh. And so I was in the Heath and I could feel the Heath is a gigantic park near my house, you know, very Wuthering Heights. And I in London, and I could feel it in my throat. I was like, I gotta get this out. Because the way we rapped was so insane. I rapped by myself. I was just like in a bathroom shooting a scene by myself. And then I was supposed to come in the next day and they said, we actually don't need you. And I'm like, but I did not get to say goodbye. Jess, I had all these candles. I had all these scented candles I was going to give out. But there was no reason for me to come in. And also like, I wasn't going to drive an hour and risk COVID again, you know, before I got on a plane. So anyway, I had to. So what I did was instead of calling Carl, because I thought that might overwhelm him, even though if he hasn't been overwhelmed by me yet,
I mean, he's
you know, that ship has sailed. But I did some, voice memos.
Yeah.
And it allowed me to cry. Just because sometimes you have to speak it out loud. Your sadness, you have to say like, I realize I might never be here again. Yeah, yeah. What if I'm never here again? And so I sent one to him. I sent one to my best friend, Kristen and Brandy, and they all responded in a way that they possibly wouldn't have if it was a text.
Mm.
You know, I think you get across, I think texts are very dangerous.
Yeah.
Because you could be in the darkest, darkest place and you could come off like it's hard to be done with the show, and then someone writes back, yeah, I know, babe, yeah, talk to you later, and you're
up.
Right. So I want everyone also, by the way, voice memos, what a great saving of time.
Okay, so I know we talked about voicemails obviously and how we feel about that, and you said send me a voice memo. I have a little bit more, I have trouble with voice memos.
Why?
So, Jess, I don't know what's going on, but I can't, I feel like I can't, I feel like I can't list, I have trouble clicking on them or something.
God. And then they disappear.
And then that's the other thing. That's what is unsettling. Now, I like that they disappear.
If you want to have an affair, a voice memo is a great way to do it.
Yeah, another hot tip.
Yeah, another hot tip.
I just don't know how to, sometimes I'm like, pull up. Pull play,
yeah, and then
like,
you've deleted it.
And then you deleted it.
Well, let me, next time I see you, I'll take you through a tutorial.
Yeah, I feel like I don't quite know how to do it.
Because it's a tool, because when it feels too much to write a text, or if you're in an emotional moment, like I called, I started sending voice memos back and forth to Lila, you know, my surrogate mom, who passed, her daughter, you know, if I was thinking of her, I would voice memo her and just say, you know, this just reminded me of your mom and blah, blah, blah. And then she would write me back, just like, you know, send me one. And then I felt like we were so much closer, because to be honest, who is going to ever be able to sync up times to call each other? We just don't have it. It's not going to.
Not possible.
So we have to have these conversations like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like Felicity,
mm-hmm.
you know, totally. When she used to make the tapes. So,
well, I will tell you that it felt, if you need a good, I mean, there's so many laughs to be had. And again, Sarah Jessica Parker's doing beautiful work. These actresses are doing beautiful work. And
yeah, you do your best work at that age.
That's honestly, okay, so watching Cynthia Nixon at Deep Divers, it's a fucking masterclass. And seeing her on screen and just what, like you said, she's just living moment, doing moment to moment work. So truthfully, so honestly, and I was just so inspired, and I really walked away from it. I'm so excited to see the next episode, but I feel that these women in their adulthoods and in their pain and grief and joy and age, that they were handled so beautifully. So beautifully. And it made me proud to be, you know, an aging woman. It made me excited to, and I don't know. And it made me honestly, after I saw Cynthia Nixon, I was like, oh, I've got to step up my fucking game.
Yeah, we do.
Like,
I feel the same. It's time to dig deep and do work. Deeper.
Yes. Much more courage. much more bravery, much more vulnerability. And so that is, it inspired me. Her work inspired me on the show. So I wanted to share that with you. I cannot wait for you to see it.
Oh, I can't wait.
And it's not without its troubles, you know, but I absolutely loved it. I think it's
interesting too, because I'm wondering if I'll have this. Sometimes I have a real nostalgia for the old days. I mean, I romanticize the past. Dan will always say this. He's like, you are insane. I'm like, but remember when we had no problem? He's like, what are you crazy? No, in your 20s, you're stressed in a different way in your 30s. But there is something about that magical time of like falling in love and being like, just like, you know, footloose and fancy free, and nobody's died yet, and nobody's gotten really sick. But I'm really hoping that I've evolved enough that I won't long for that. Because I think when people say it's too sad, it's because they don't want that fantasy to be shattered. But underneath all of the hard stuff is so much more joy, I believe, and meaningful feelings than what you had in your 20s, in a way. I really do.
I agree. It was heavier than I thought it was going to be, than I remember the show.
And the movies, heavier than the movies.
Well, listen, I think, I always talk to Paul about this, because I had never really connected to fan culture, you know, and his sort of needing to see this movie on this date and all of like the Marvel, DC, I don't know, all of the stuff of like boy, fandom and comics and this and that. And I never understood it because I never had that experience.
Yeah.
And then when the first movie came out, I thought, oh my God, now I understand what it is to see these characters that you really connected to, that you love, that you know the anthology, you know the lore and the text, and you relate to it in such a way. And I love the first movie so much. And then to see the second one
that was tough.
And feel like, well, you know, America's going to be attacked, you know, because of this film. And I was really like, this is, and deservedly so, like, this will start a war. I will understand it, this piece of art. So I was so disappointed. That then I understood also, like, oh, when the new Indiana Jones thing comes out and then the fans are upset, whatever it is, I'm like, oh, now I get it.
Or when you made me watch you watch Les Mis, which was, and you know, I am comfortable with public displays of emotion, but I wasn't ready for what you and Casey did.
I'm
during
not going to apologize.
First strains. First of all, I thought, oh, let's see Les Mis. To me, Les Mis wasn't, you know, like my life. So I was like, oh, that'll be interesting. But like,
don't even start
wailing like you're at the wailing wall.
Yes.
And like holding each other. I was like, what the fuck? I was sitting next to Lennon. We looked at each other. These bitches be crazy. These bitches be crazy.
Because, okay, I guess that's I guess there are a few other things I will fan out on where what it is also like, oh, that those chords. Do you hear the people singing the song of anger? You know, I connected so deeply to those characters and, you know, to two grown men named Jean Valjean and Inspector Javert. But
crazy. I thought the movie had problems. Like, I didn't expect that experience.
And Russell Crowe can sing, and that, you know, nobody wanted that, but it was what it was. And that's the interesting thing about being a fan is like having such a leash and forgiveness and capacity for choices that are wrong and things that don't work because you are. And that's what I'll say. I mean, I texted many friends when I saw it, when, you know, I have my friend Dory came over after I had finished both episodes and she was like, I have a lot to say. And she said it in that tone.
About it.
And
she
I said, careful.
Oh.
Be careful. This is not a safe space for your thoughts, actually. It's not. And I want to be clear about that. It's not. Simply not.
Wreck it for me. Don't, because listen. God bless Dory. I don't know where Dory's coming from. I don't know if this is the sacred ground for her. I don't know. And that's why you have to be careful.
And, you know, Paul and I got into a massive fight when we saw Sex and the City, the movie. I had already seen it with my girlfriends from home, the first one. And then I took him to experience it with me.
What
and
a big
I wasn't
mistake.
Happy with his reading
what
of it.
What a big mistake.
We got into a massive fight, you know, and the fight was also about, like, women have so few kind of blockbusters. We have so few event movies.
Yeah, so don't take that from us.
Do not fucking take that from
don't
me.
Take it. Don't take it from us.
And you're going to tell me that these stories and these emotional stakes are any more real or less than your goddamn lightsabers and
exactly
potters and worlds and fantasy? Like, oh, I won't accept
the
that.
The schnauzer has just took it. We're taking some falls. Okay, she's okay.
How did she do?
Well, it was a 22-hour journey. We got to the airport and they said our flight was canceled. No explanation. And 22 hours, like, escape from Alcatraz. Because I was like, no, we're getting out of here. We are leaving this place. And Dan is always, in the travel scenario, Dan's always like, this ain't going to work. And I was like, oh no, I will pull a Sally Field not without my daughter. Like, I will get us on this plane. So with a dog with dementia, we flew 11 hours to Dallas-Fort Worth. Then we had to go through customs, et cetera, rebook our bags, get on a 4-hour flight in the way back of the plane with the dog and headphones that had run out of power. So I had to sit staring ahead, okay? Staring ahead in the middle seat.
Nothing. Did you have a book, Emma?
And hope the dog didn't shit on my shoes. Now, Emma is done with chemo. So I have to, and that was our choice because she, you know, she's really, her mind, I don't want her body to outpace her mind. And her mind is definitely on the decline. And so me and Dr. Grant Petrie decided that it's just best because she's, we don't know. It could have no, first of all, she's responded so well. It will probably have the same lengthening effect on her body.
Wonderful.
But yeah, you know what? Even watching a pet and knowing it's as Bibi said, oh God, Bibi killed me. She was also sad to leave, which was interesting because I didn't expect it because she wanted so desperately to come home. But then I could tell she was feeling some things, even though she said, I'm fine. Mm. I was like, wait for it. Mm. And at like 9 p.m. it all came out. And Dan was like, I thought she said she was fine. I was like, oh no, we're never fine when we say we're fine, just so you know. But she said, Amma, I was sitting in class and I was thinking to myself, this second that I'm feeling right now, it will never come again.
Oh, wow.
And I may never see the street again, or this moment will never come again. And I was like, whoa. Yes, that's exactly what I'm feeling. The heartbreak of life, which is like
chapters.
And closing chapters. And she had, I mean, the day before we went home, I made Dan, and he did willingly because he's the greatest dad in the world, drive in a hurricane, essentially, to a horse jumping class because I knew she wanted so desperately to show us that she could jump with a horse, which is crazy.
Amazing.
At 8 that's years old.
Amazing.
She's turned 8. But that's how fast they learn in Britain. I mean, it is just a different, anyway. And I was watching her control a horse and jump over a fence, basically.
Jessica.
I started crying because she has just at every turn gotten back up. Like that 4 months was about, okay, this is hard. I'm going to get back up and try it differently. Even when someone tells me they shoot horses in the head, I'm still going to go back. You know, I just started sobbing. I'm like, that resilience is so inspiring.
I'm inspired. It is inspiring.
It is inspiring. And I did promise her as well, I will never take her out of school ever again. And I will not do that until she is in college. We are staying at home. That's the long and the short of it.
Okay.
I've already said no to an opportunity of even just to audition for a job that felt so right for me. Mm. But it was in Toronto. And I said, I promised her and I will stay to that promise. It's not fair. It's not fair to them. We got to stay at home. you know?
I know. I'm so fraught with that, Jess. And I hear you. I hear you. And I don't know. I'm so fraught. I don't know. I mean, it's like,
It's hard to say. You don't know what's coming.
It's hard to say. You don't know what's coming. And I'm also like, the lessons she learned from this, I think that's what's so, that's that dance with children, right? It's like, when do you push? When do you not?
Oh, yeah.
When do you, and also not knowing like what these investments are turning, like time will tell. Oh, I was, my girlfriend and I took out our nannies for like a holiday spa day.
Yeah.
So it was so much fun. And anyway, her nanny was, I was talking to in the hot tub, was telling me that she spent like 5 years in Malaysia as a child.
Wow.
And her parents were teaching. They just took her out at sixth grade. And, like, she went and lived there. And, of course, was, like, so upset, you know, about it. And
pissed
and hateful toward them. And then, of course, like, learned and then integrated herself into the school there. And she was at an international school. She's very well traveled. It's just so interesting to me to think through, like, what... I don't know. So for her to have had that experience and have that experience with horses and, you know, it's very hard to know what the fuck we're doing because we don't get to see it until we do. And then it's like,
we don't. And I think we want so much to shield them from struggle.
Yeah.
Because it's hard for us to watch it. And it's hard, but... you know, the parenting people the two people that I'm following and we're going to have at least one of them on really soon, Michelle Kenny from Peace and Parenting, but they Dr. Becky Goodinside, she says like it is not your job to prevent them from struggle.
No.
It's not your job. They learn their lessons by doing. They have to. Our words don't really mean much. Our advice means very little to them. That's a crazy thing because you think it's my job to like shape them. And you can, yes, always listen. And we're here to validate. And if they ask for advice, we can give it. Or if they, I noticed she asks a lot, did you ever have an experience like this? And so you can craft a story in a certain way if you want to let her know this is something I would think about trying. I'm just think of all the things she learned by trying
and failing
and observe and failing and learning and succeeding. And she said, after 4 months, I'm finally making some friends. And that was what was so hard about being ripped away from it. But what did she just learn? It could be really hard for the first 3 months. And then you find somebody that you connect with.
And you don't need, you really don't need many people.
You don't need many.
You just kind of need a one, you know, honestly.
But think about how many jobs you would have considered quitting after the first month.
Yeah.
Or when I came to Los Angeles, it was hard for the first 2 years.
Yeah. Yep.
This whole career I would have quit. God.
Well, I mean, in the experience of, I mean, both you and I know this so well, of... like doing guest star roles on TV shows. It's like you're walking in, everybody knows each other, everybody knows the crew, everybody knows, and you're just like, oh my God.
Oh,
and day one is like, it's so hard. It's so hard. And then like you kind of come back the second day and you're a little bit more like understanding of what the vibe is and, you know, feel a little bit more relaxed. It's just, and it is that experience of just like, and listen, I do feel that we are in a creative field where we are called all the time to let go of all comfort and to step into the unknown.
And comfort of the people that you love. That's why I can't, like, I can't quit these people. This group is so special to me. Same as Playing House. Same with BFF. Like, I can't be ripped away from the people I love, and yet this job will rip me away. And it does seem like everybody, I'll be honest, handles it better than you and I.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you.
I'm feeling like I am the one. I am the last one at the party. Like, ah.
You're still grieving, like, though. Job, but I think though. It's appropriate
like,
to
it's
grieve.
A job, Jessica.
But I think it's appropriate to grieve. And I think when people don't, it comes out sideways. I really do. And I do, like, I'm actually, I feel like I've completed my Grace and Frankie grief.
Yes, I can tell. I really You're do. Out. Yeah,
I'm
yeah. Out.
Not
yeah,
only
yeah.
that, but I just had last week my first like professional heartbreak post Grace and Frankie, where I was like really wanting to do something, put an enormous amount of time and energy into it, really saw it. And like when things align creatively, it's so special and so sacred.
Yeah.
When you're like, I got this.
Yeah.
You know? And then I didn't. And
that hurts.
And that hurts. And it was really interesting because I, and like Paul is so incredible because he really, I just really said, I'm, and I shared it with my agents too. I'm like, because usually I'm like, oh, no problem, on to the next.
Yeah, you're and trying to pretend.
Trying
you're like, this
to
one really
for
hurts.
Everyone that it's okay. And
but
this
Paul
one,
knows what it's like.
Yes. And even so with Dan. My agent and my manager, I was like, this fucking sucks. And I'm devastated. I'm heartbroken.
Yeah. Yep.
Because this should have been me as far as I am concerned.
And I'm, and me too. I don't even know what the part was, but you should have had it.
Yeah. And it should have been me and I will watch it and I will hate watch it. You
well,
know,
that's,
think
that's
about,
where you and I differ.
You won't.
I can't that. Even watch
I
it.
I probably actually might not. I probably might not, but sometimes I do. I've done it a few times.
You're a stronger woman than I am.
But what I do it with, actually, and there's a show, I won't name it, but very, very popular show that is up for the part.
Sorry, the schnauzer just fell again. Stepping in. Okay, sorry. It's like Meatball doesn't move and makes noise, but this dog just paces. I shouldn't know where she is. Okay, go ahead. Sorry. I'm
well,
so sorry.
No, I was going to say, and I watched that show because it was on forever, and I did... hate watch it because I was like, every choice this actress is making, I would have done better. And so it was like, I was doing the lines and it was real creepy.
That's
and she also got like terrible reviews and people hated her
that's
in it. And
not
I was like,
good.
Yeah, they
June,
did good.
June.
Sorry.
June.
What? I'm sorry. But I'm sorry, Jessica. Sometimes I do that. Now, this though, I spent a solid spend a solid like 14 hours on my grief for this thing that I didn't get.
Yeah.
And then I moved on. So I feel like that's for the amount of time I put into it, that was a reasonable amount of time.
I will also say this. I just said this to my friend Kristen. The other side, okay, and I'm talking about dead people here, they know a lot. Yeah. And they know how complicated the world is. And so when you really see and visualize something that doesn't work out, I guarantee you, and I know this sounds so cliched and stupid, but that you are not supposed to get that part so that you can get something even more special.
Okay, but do you, because I see it. You, Jessica, as someone who...
is never going to work again?
No,
that's how
I was going to say,
okay,
I see you in my mind, and I always have, as like you're still on that pedestal to me of like, you will just not get it. All the parts.
Do not get none of the parts.
You get all the parts.
Do you understand how zero parts are here currently?
No, I don't, because
in
I'm
my
like, I also have never seen you really, like, I feel like you don't get upset if you don't get one, and maybe that's just because
you
know another
me?
One's coming around the bend.
Please call up Lennon, who will
really?
Say, can we put this one away? Oh, no. There are so many parts that I want and don't get, and my anxiety is constant about never working again. I'm convinced
me too.
Now.
Me
I look
too.
At my bank account, I'm like, well, this is what we've got. We'll have to move to Costa Rica. That's where I see a lot of home shows about people wanting to stretch their retirement. They go to Costa Rica. So I think like,
well,
that's
I know
always
that, you know, on Tiger King, that guy, Don, who they thought Tiger Lady killed, like he was in Costa Rica. He moved all his wealth in Costa Rica. And I was like, oh, didn't know you could live like a king in Costa
you
Rica.
You absolutely okay. can. And that's an option for us. But yeah,
But do you agree? I don't ever see you like upset.
I will tell you what I don't
things.
Do is
yeah,
I don't
me.
Allow myself. St. Clair's do not allow ourselves to sit in any kind of sense of failure. We immediately move on to action.
Wow.
Yes, it's not healthy, I wouldn't say.
So like for my situation, you spend a week on this hair and makeup, out like getting everything ready, getting everything prepped. You find out hours later you're not getting it.
Oh, I would, the next minute I would be like, well, we'll have to have a meeting. Everyone, okay. There will be a meeting. Poor Christy, my manager, will be like, just give me a heads up. Like, you just start setting me. Oh, no, I only know how to act. I do not know how to sit. And I'm trying to learn about that because it is not usually very wasted energy. But that's why, like, when I got diagnosed, I mean, maybe what did I cry? I cried on my way to the drive to the doctor's office.
Yeah.
And from that minute on, it was action Jackson. And I got fucking surgery faster than anybody. I got to the best doctor faster than anybody. You know, it's a good fight or flight. I'm all fight. I'm no flight. And I'm not even freeze. I'm all fight. And that can be very problematic. So I would like to, you did the right thing. Because then you're not hanging on to that and you're not just spinning your wheels. I am going to tell you this. I really do feel like the others, if we can trust in the other side and trust that they know what's coming, and even the work that you did to prepare is not wasted.
I think you're right. And I think that's actually why I had to take a beat and honor that time and what I saw and where I let myself go and where I felt like, you know, I think I needed to just say like, okay, that is done. And also, yes, it was really nice because I think sometimes what I can do to myself with auditioning is like, well, I don't want to work that hard.
Dirty tank top. Moccasins. For those of you who haven't heard us tell that story 16 times, we showed up to a network test. I was wearing a dirty tank top. And she was in a moccasin.
I was wearing moccasins. Why wouldn't I put on a heel? I'll never know.
I'll never know. Why did I wear a...
What was I wearing, though?
What? Yeah.
You did. In that dirty tank.
Again, yeah. Because sometimes my fight, it's like better when I have like nothing prepared because I have to fight harder.
Right. So that's the lesson for me, though. I do think in the process I went through last week of really putting myself out there, really showing up for my own process.
Yes.
You know,
you pulled a Cynthia Nixon.
Yes. Just like, I'm going to give this everything I got. And
but it hurts.
Because then when you don't get it, when you don't get the thing, it's like, oh, fuck. If I could blame it on the fact that I wasn't prepared, if I could blame it on the fact that I didn't do hair, makeup, whatever the thing is, really put it all on the line and invest it, then it would hurt less. But the truth is, you're right. Like, and Paul said that to me. He's like, I'm so glad you really went after this.
That's right. Paul would go after it. Dan goes after it 100%. Yes. And you know, we think we know what is right for us. It's like when Casey said, you know, SNL, she thought, God, this is it. I've arrived. This is it. It's all happening. And then, I don't know, did she say this, psychics? Did she share this? Or am I sharing? I don't know. We'll see if we have to cut it. But she said, the psychic said, I needed to get SNL out of the way. Mm-hmm. Your mother said this. I needed to get SNL out of the way so you could go on and do happy endings and meet your future husband. And I just keep seeing that more and more. I'm like, you got to trust with the universe.
You do. I mean, I have bills to pay, so there's that. But yeah. Overall,
it doesn't mean not try. Try for these things. But when they don't work out, don't go to the beating up place of I'm not good enough or that is a missed opportunity, because I still don't think it is.
I think you're right. And also that narrative of like, and I think I'm sure so many deep divers can relate to this in their own professions or whatever. Whatever it is like, oh, that narrative of like other people get this good stuff. That's for
other people.
Other people, you know, and then I'll get the scraps.
Well, we lived on scraps for so long. Nobody welcomed us to Hollywood, you know, with open arms.
We did all right, though, Jess.
We did, but we scrapped around. We had to scrap it together. None of us knew what was going on. I mean, I just remember when I had my first meeting with a commercial agent who Rob Hubel and I took a commercial class, and we were able to get a meeting with an agent. And she said, "This is the third time I've seen you, and you're wearing the same Banana Republic cowl neck sweater. I'm going to sign you, but with the caveat that you need to remake yourself from the ground up physically."
Wow. I don't think I could come back from that. Now, I was given a lot of tough feedback that I honestly, Jess, there's a phone call that I remember getting from a manager or early manager walking around. I remember where I was in New York City when I received that call. Okay. And I actually don't even think I can speak about it because it was a complete, I went to LA to meet with agents, and she had feedback from the agents, not based on but on my looks. And looks. I can't say what was said to me.
Oh,
I can't say it aloud, but the fact that we have been able to survive that and continue on, is really quite remarkable.
Oh, remarkable. We are able to remark on the fucked up remarks that were given to us. But yet, this woman, she was right. I ain't going to book it unless I got that weird haircut. Remember the haircut that flipped out?
Of course, I remember it.
And I'll never forget Jason Mantzoukas' face when I showed up and I was like, "Here's my new look." And he was like, "Wow, that's a crazy fucking haircut." I knew he was thinking it, but God bless him, he didn't say it. And I look back at those pics and I'm like, boy, oh boy. Why did they want women at that stage in the commercial game to have it was like a ski flip. Do you remember?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I had to suck that dick just to get that Jetta commercial that would then pay for me to leave.
You did get those commercials.
I got that haircut, you know?
I know.
And I'll never forget my childhood best friend, Brandy, after 9/11 gave me a gift certificate for $250 to Anthropology. And she said, "Go get that outfit." And I got one outfit, which was insane.
Acceptable. Yeah.
Like a jean skirt, with a diaphanous top. I probably wore it 700 times.
I'm going to say something right now. And again, if they want to come on as a sponsor, I'm always happy to have them. But Anthropology is a store that I can't get behind.
You can't.
You look in the window. I look in the window there.
Or the catalog. They're always shooting it in Madrid. And it's then you try it on and it looks bananas.
Bananas. And I'm like, for a long time, I was like, oh, I guess my body type just doesn't work in here. But
that is true.
That is both of us. But I also really do think that it doesn't work on anyone. Like, there's not a body type that it looks good in. And the shape. Anthropology is like every sweater you think is a sweater, but it's misshapen. Everything's misshapen.
Everything is shaped like a circus tent. And there's too many bows and there's too many details and bells and whistles. And I agree. But back then, that was the place, that in Urban Outfitters, And one time Lennon and I showed up for a pitch wearing the same Anthropology shirt that had dragonflies all over it. Gigantic dragonflies. And we showed up wearing the same blouse. Do you know how fucking embarrassing it would be? And I think that bitch made me put on a dirty tank top. She was like, "Here's something I found underneath my seat. You put it on."
Oh my God, Jess.
So listen.
Listen.
Go with God.
I do admire your unflappable nature in this industry, and I am I do see you as someone, as one of the girls who gets the thing. I do. That's who you are to me. That's who you've always been to me.
It's shocking to me, but
always been to me. The girl who gets it,
and you are
the one
that
who gets
is
it.
You to me.
Well, that's weird. But I do see you that way. I mean, it's why Casey and I took you out to lunch, you know, or drinks, whatever that was.
I think you took me out to lunch to find out whether or not I was waxing all the hair off my
vagina. I'll never forgive Casey for
vagina.
That.
Yeah.
She really messed up. She really
But you know
up.
What? No, but you know, it is like what Maya Angelou says, you know, when the first time someone shows you who they are, believe them. Because she's never stopped. That is exactly who she is. And I appreciated her being her authentic self. Because if it wasn't for me, I would have walked away.
Now, let me tell you, and let me tell you, deep divers, I know some of you are going to come at me on Twitter and DM and tell me all the things that are wrong with Just Like That and Just Like That, the Sex and the City reboot. And I'm not a safe space to discuss it.
No, no.
I'm not, you know, characters not welcome here.
No.
I don't care. I really don't care how anyone else feels about it. And I will only be responding to and talking about this show with people who come at it with the same amount of love. Yeah. And joy and acceptance.
Yeah.
Acceptance, deep acceptance of what it is and what it's capable of being. And really honoring these ladies, you know, who I love.
I'm going to be surprised if we're going to have a lot of deep divers coming at you in a negative way for that.
I hope really not, because again, I'm not available for it, you know. And after this time, I need it. I need this.
You need this is for you. And this, that's why I don't share Escape to the Chateau with just anybody. And do I have a login, a secret login? Did one of my British friends give me their Channel 4 login? So I'm watching currently the new season that only British people can see. And did I share it with only one person? And that's Kulop?
Yeah, that's the right
person. I
don't
care what you think about Escape to the Chateau.
That's the thing. It's like,
I don't.
You know, I said to Dory, you know, she wants to get her thoughts out about what's wrong. And she has thoughts and this and that and what they did. And I'm like, yeah, go, please. I hope you do find someone to share that with.
But it won't
I'm not
be me.
That gal. Yeah, I'm not that gal. You know, we don't all have to be that person for everybody. Like, discourse is closed, you know, or if you want to join my discourse, it needs to be with so much love. And that's got to be first. Okay. Yeah. That has to come through. Yeah.
We have
and if
to.
I don't see that coming through. I'm going to ask you to keep your opinions to yourself.
And that's like when people say, have you seen the new, it's not even new anymore, Anne with an E.
Wow.
And talk about a fucking movie that I've tried so hard to forget. Okay. That and Silence of the Lambs. That last Anna Green Gables movie, which was not based on the books.
Jessica,
it wasn't based on the books. I don't know who did that. It was a crime against humanity. And I don't want to see my Anne of Green Gables with a harsh gray filter.
No.
There will never be another Megan Follows. There is
ever.
That is and that is it.
And
that's
she did it.
And certain things shouldn't be brought back. And the poor thing, she did do the second that movie, but I don't want to see her trying to rescue Gilbert, you know, on the battlefield of World War One.
No.
That's not it.
And
me.
I also actually don't want to see another Gilbert or Diana. All of those characters to me.
Never again.
Or Matthew or Marissa. Like, I don't want to see another. We did it. You know, not everything does need to be redone. Although
that's right.
I am very happy to return to, you know, my ladies. But not everything needs to be redone. And Cody says, my take is let people enjoy content.
Who cares? Cody.
Yes.
God yes. bless Cody.
God bless Cody.
By the way, I may the next time you see me have a curtain, like a very.
I was going to say the same exact
like
thing.
Like a very
Cody,
Bridget
can you
Bardot
come on for
bang.
A second, because I've been wanting to talk about your curtain bangs and it
Let's
feels like
it's
the right time.
Let's get on there. Let's see what's going on. Yep. That's what I might be. You might be seeing me with something a little like that. I like it like that. Oh, baby.
Now, I have to ask, Cody, do you have to blow these out every morning?
Okay. Yes. You have to do it. I had to relearn. Yeah. It had been years. I wasn't emotionally prepared for it at first and was very angry for a week and a half. And now it is just what it is.
They're just so beautiful. You look like Bridget Bardot's. You know, like a hot young cousin.
I got a good cut. And it could have gone either way, but curtain bangs, I think, are really hard for people. I also, here's a tip for everyone. I was told by a hairstylist, if you want to trim your bangs, buy eyebrow scissors, because it's harder to make big mistakes if you're trimming your bangs. Because wow. They're very short. They're like half an inch.
Wow. That's a hot tip, my friend.
All right. I thank you, Cody. I'm considering them, but Jess, I really don't think that
we probably shouldn't have them.
We shouldn't have them. And I was so glad to see them, and I was so glad to look at them, but we don't have the time every day to do that.
Also, I think we have weird hairlines that might fuck them up.
It's not right. And also, I can't do a middle part.
Either can I. You have to have a perfectly symmetrical face.
Yeah, we're not middle part ladies. Cody. And that's what we have to know who we are.
Damn it. By the way, before we leave, because I told Dan that I would go up and take over on BB duty, I want to thank all the deep divers for their beautiful trees. I mean, what a holiday magic that they're sharing with the world.
And also, I can't reshare it fast enough.
Me neither. And also, I want to say, I feel badly we limited it to trees. I want all holiday decor. I want your menorahs. I want your Kwanzaa displays. I want your Chinese New Year's. I want everything people are doing for the holidays. Okay. So sorry. We were just talking trees, but that's just the tip of the iceberg.
In fact, I would love to see any dinnerware, any sort of sets, holiday sets that you have. I have, and I never know if it's Spode or Spode.
Yes. Spode. Yeah. Spode.
Spode.
Gorgeous.
Yes.
Gorgeous. I'd love to see tablescapes. Yeah. I got to go. I love you so much.
I love you too. I'm so glad you're back, Jess. And deep divers, I'm wishing all of you, from me and Jessica, a wonderful, wonderful holiday, and especially a special shout out to any deep divers who are experiencing this holiday alone or in quarantine or without family. We're thinking of you and sending you so much love. And I'm so grateful that you are a part of our deep dive family. A quick admin note, we are going to be taking the next 2 weeks off, so we will see you in the new year, and we are wishing you a happy new year. Also, for all the deep divers, the Jane Club is hosting our third virtual summit. We are kicking off 2022 with a bang, determined to ensure that this coming year is one in which we restore our hope, renew our faith, return to the hard work of improving our communities and lives. We are hosting a one-day virtual gathering called New Year, New Jane, setting some incredible intentions and resolutions around the new year. And at the event, we're going to have some incredible speakers, small groups, breakout conversations. We'll be doing some meditating, some journaling, some sharing. It's January 22nd from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you head to janeclub.com, you will see under special events that you can click on and purchase your tickets now. They are live. Happy holidays.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep. Let's go on the deep dive. No secrets will we keep. It's June and Jessica, going deep. How deep can you go? Oh, really deep. Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go diving deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free one-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Ann Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnnGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.